Hey there, Thack enthusiasts. I am Sal. Alongside me, I have my man Victor, the man with the plan. Welcome to another exciting episode of Thack on Trial, the podcast where we dissect the latest tech trends, innovations, and controversies. If you are not already subscribed, well, what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button and join us on this wild tech ride. Well, today we have our an interesting topic, Victor, eh? Like a one topic that we've been talking about for a while, but we are gonna dive deep into the world of generative AI, a little bit outside of
Ooh.
the law tech, and talking about
Yeah.
arts, music, coding, everything in between.
Yeah. I'm really jazzed for it, man. Being the CEO of Apigee Suite, where we constantly push the boundaries of like general AI and AI creativity, like the overarching success of AI is not just about killer robots and world domination. Sometimes we do make some cool things too, and sometimes the AI makes those cool things for us. So yeah, let's dive in, man.
Not about killer robots. Bummer.
Well, sometimes, but not always.
So let's get into our meaty part of the show. First of all, generative AI is booming, and we've been talking about that for a while. But what I think a lot of people are asking now is where is headed? And I think we can start by potentially ask that very, very cheesy but important question. Where do you see generative AI in the next 5 years?
Oh, so this is like a generative AI interview, like job
Oh,
interview.
yeah.
So in the next 5 years, I see my, no, I'm just kidding. I think like within the next 5 years, you're going to see generative AI generally everywhere. I think you're going to see a little bit of a dip in usage probably next year, just largely because we're in a world where it's super hyped right now and people are trying it on everything. And then next year, I think we're going to get a little bit of correction in that overzealousness, but eventually we're going to get to a place where it is largely used in good context in the right places. And those places can range from things like personal assistants that are going to craft text message responses, artists collaborating with AI to create like awesome works, masterpieces, even marketing material and on-brand guides and stuff. So generally, the possibilities are endless. After all, we're talking a creative revolution, really, right? In fact, what we're already seeing many uses in generative AI for light AGI, even that's artificial general intelligence, where we give an AI like a full task and let it complete it through its reasoning, and then we hope that it does the right thing, and sometimes it does. Like that's why it's not really like real AGI yet. It's still like AGI with training wheels.
Got it. It's not necessarily fully autonomous yet, but it could
Nope.
be eventually.
That's right.
Well, I mean, with that, I think the hottest question we have nowadays about generative AI is, what do you see the what are the ethical concerns around generative AI from your side?
Yeah, I mean, ethics, that's sort of like a hot topic, a mixed bag, and it's like quite contentious among different people, right? So like as AI becomes more creative, there's definitely worry about plagiarism, deep fakes, and biased content generation. Beyond that, there's currently issues with copyright infringement for training many of these algorithms with other people's content. So there's lawsuits happening now, and there's even large union fights going on where they're trying, actually they've been solved recently, but where they're trying to save their work and their creation and their IP from the use of generative AI and as it's training, right? So we need to sort of start navigating these waters carefully and ensure that like our digital Picassos play by the rules.
Oh yeah. The other day I saw someone replicating one of those Bob Ross paintings from the old days using one of these tools, and it was quite impressive. So I think, yeah, like, watch out, guys.
Yeah, I mean, like another thing that some people are doing is like kind of style transfer in a sense, where, the manner in which I write or the manner in which I draw or something like that gets replicated, but then I'm not the one creating the next thing. It's created as if it's me. So that's another use of generative AI that's kind of cool, and not everybody loves.
Yes, indeed.
No.
Then it starts getting to a different realm of discussion, particularly the creativity and the human aspect that still separates us from machines, I guess. But
Yep.
in terms of the benefits, well, we talked about the ethics and challenges and issues, but there are of course benefits. Like right now, what are you seeing happening, and how can generative AI benefit various industries around the topics you talk about?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's going to be all over the place. So, like, the possibilities are endless, and it's kind of mind-blowing in all honesty. I mean, think of all of the movies with like super intelligence in them. Eventually, that super intelligence sort of like does a lot of things for us, right? And then the scary part is that eventually it just gets so much better than us that it doesn't really need us. But hopefully, we don't get there. So, in the next couple of years, you can probably start thinking about like personalized medicine, content creation, legal discovery and expert witness training, and even like full-on drug discovery. Generative AI can probably supercharge innovation across the board, and hopefully that makes the world a better place and probably a lot more entertaining too.
Oh, certainly. And do you think at this point in time, will or can generative AI truly understand human creativity? Do you see that happening eventually?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, while AI can mimic creativity to an extent, it's not channeling its inner Shakespeare just yet. Currently, like the best in class is to augment some AI output as the starting point of our input so that we can almost have a cheat code or head start. But who knows what the future holds? Like maybe one day AI will surprise us with a symphony or a novel that rivals the classics. But my thought is much like us, generally, most things that we think we've created that are completely new are some kind of mishmash or combination of things we've heard, learned, or seen in the past, right? Not many things are really that novel, even in human experience.
It's true.
That's a little philosophical,
We
right?
see that happening all the time, and particularly the creativity part. Like a lot of these makes and different like songs that you see, like little snippets of old songs and stuff like
Yeah.
that. It happens with the human creativity. It hits a plateau sometimes, and it's hard to create something completely new and unseen, given all of the information we have access to
I think the
around.
problem is like once you've seen things, your brain is gonna turn to things to like kind of wrap the world around in because that's your context. So the context of an AI is the things it's seen, just like we have. So, like, if we were born on like some desolate island where we see nothing our whole lives, we couldn't understand any of the things in normal society. Just like AI generally can't understand most of the things that we tell it because it hasn't seen the things until it gets trained on a massive corpus of content and experience in a sense. Yeah.
So even these videos we see, shit.
Just what 3, 2, 1, go back to the videos part.
Let's go back to the question.
Yeah.
So 3, 2, 1. And speaking about the creativity and of course the our ability to keep innovating, to keep creating new things. There's also the part of what do you think, what do we think as a society, what generative AI is. There's a lot of misconceptions, there's a lot of confusion around that. Can Can you outline a little bit? Can you shine some light a little bit to, for those who are not necessarily within the universe of, you know, the technology and so on, like enlighten us.
Yeah, for sure. I think generative AI is sort of like the shiny new tool that we as insecure humans are thinking is going to replace us. You know, this happened with everything. It happened with the loom. It happened with machinery in the Industrial Revolution. It happened with the bicycle. It happened with the plane, the automobile, all these things. And then computers. And, you know, we're always thinking these things are the thing. This is the thing that's going to replace us. You know, evolution has stopped and now humans are done. So, like, the biggest misconception is generally that generative AI is one of these things and it's going to replace all humans. Realistically, it's not by itself. It's going to take a lot more than just generative AI. This kind of AI is here to augment our creativity. And like I said, maybe provide us with like a cheat code or a head start. It's not really here to take our jobs, and it's certainly not here to take our paintbrushes. So for right now, let's rejoice and embrace this as our creative sidekick.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, there you have it. Quick and painless. So I think the future of generative AI is looking brighter than ever. And I want to thank all of you for joining us on this new episode of Tech on Trial, where we did a little bit of a quick overview of what we've been talking about over the last few months. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you can catch all of the new techie goodness of the future. Until next time, I'm signing off. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, have a good week.